Okay. So I'm in, and this is my partner, Kyle.
Morlock.
What the crap was that?
I'm a Morlock.
No, you're...
Well, there's Morlocks in the future. I'm just talking about the Morlocks.
Not if it's a successful future, which is what the movies are supposed to be talking about. And for those of you who can't tell, Kyle and I are reviewing The Time Machine, and Time After Time, which had... The Time Machine!
Oh. It's like, which had what? Women's Liberation?
Sure. Sure it did.
Forward anyway. Women?
Okay, so, our review of the original 1960 Time Machine. The Time Machine, also known as H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, is a 1960 science fiction film based on H.G. Wells' 1895 novel of the same name about a man from Victorian England who constructs a time-traveling machine and uses it to travel to the future. It starred Rod Taylor and Yvette Mimieux,
I think.
Yeah, I know it's French.
She was hot.
We'll get to that. The film was produced by George Pal, who also filmed the 1953 version of Wells' The War of the Worlds. Pal also wanted to make a sequel to his 1960 film, but it was not remade until 2002, when Wells' great-grandson, Simon Wells, working with executive producer Arnold Leibovitz, directed a film with the same title. The film received an Oscar for time-lapse photographic technique effects, showing the world changing rapidly. In 1985, elements of this film were incorporated into the fantasy film Worlds of George Pal, produced by Arnold Leibovitz. Alright, so Kyle, what are your thoughts on the original Time Machine?
I enjoyed it.
You
enjoyed it? How about you?
I enjoy it as well.
Fantastic.
I think it's one of those...
Next movie.
I think it's one of those, like, rare movies that, like, it's going to be a timeless film, because it's a period piece in the beginning. There's a little bit of the 60, you know, of 1960 and, like, the current, you know, well, not 1960, it was, like, 1916, I guess. There's a little bit of that whole, like,
yes, 1916.
There's a lot of the, nuclear holocaust fear and stuff, mm-hmm. which that was also in the 80s, I guess. But it's not, like... It's not like a lot of time travel movies that are marked by, oh, let's bring them into the present and show them how awkward it is. It's like, no, it's rather timeless, and it sticks to the original, the true story. It sticks true to the story, doesn't it?
Yes. From what I can recall from reading the book, it was pretty true, pretty dead on to what happened. I don't recall as much going on in the 800,000 era, but then again... I read the book like 10 years ago, so who knows?
And you think the chick that played Weena was hot?
Yes, Weena was a hottie.
See, I wasn't too crazy about her character because she was. I think she was cast well for the role. They made her like a childish innocent, but she wasn't, you know, all that like attractive. You know, she was just like, you know, she was a pretty girl, but not like a knockout.
She was like Barbarella mixed with Gidget for me.
See, if I had to pick like
so
a sci-fi,
I found her attractive.
If I had to pick like a sci-fi babe, I would have gone for like Nova from Planet of the Apes because she looks more developed. She looks like, you know, like
she is attractive as well.
Yeah, but you know, Weena's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't saying she was my number one ever. I'm just saying she's hot. That's all we got to establish there. All
right, ladies,
we don't need to compare her to Planet of the Apes. I mean, we could, but
yeah, let's not go there.
That'll be in our future podcast, Women of Science Fiction Movies,
Babes of the Future,
next right. fall.
Next fall on some internet network. Okay, so our next review is the 2002 Time Machine remake. The Time Machine is a 2002 science fiction film adapted from the 1895 novel of the same name by H.G. Wells and the 1960 screenplay by David Duncan. It was executive produced by Arnold Leibovitz and directed by Simon Wells, who is the great-grandson of the original author, and stars Guy Pearce, Jeremy Irons, Orlando Jones, Samantha Mumba, Mark, Andy, Addie, yeah, Sienna Guerrieri, and... Vidya Law, and a cameo by Alan Young, who also appeared in the 1960 film adaptation. The 2002 film is set in New York City instead of London and contains new story elements not present in the original novel, including a romantic backstory and several new characters such as an intelligent hologram played by Orlando Jones and a leader of the Morlocks played by Jeremy Irons. Director Gore Verbinski. Why do I always have to pronounce these?
Maybe you should read these beforehand so we can figure out the pronunciations.
I'm always the one having.
Wouldn't that make this more professional?
One who always has to read the synopsis. I always have to pronounce like the Italian and the Russian.
Well, I'll read the next one.
All right. Gore Verbinski was brought in.
The listeners expect professionalism, and you're giving them amateurism. I just can't imagine. Can't believe this.
Things I put
they expect you, based on your gentleman's word.
My gentleman's... Anyway, was brought in to take over the last 18 days of shooting as Simon Wells was suffering from extreme exhaustion. Wells returned for post-production. In 2009, work is underway on a sequel to The Time Machine to be titled The Time Machine Returns, or possibly Time Machine 2, is being produced by Arnold Leibovitz.
Wow, extreme exhaustion. What a pussy way out. I've been making this movie too long. Bring in someone else to finish it for me.
That's terrible.
It just means his heart wasn't in it, I guess.
Well, that's... Okay, well...
So if he had a cold,
whatever. Extreme exhaustion. Enough about the people we don't know and who were involved in this movie. Let's talk about the film itself, Kyle. Now, I personally did not like this one because it was... very, like...
Early 2000s?
Yeah, it was very much, you know, a timely film. Yeah. They were trying to over-CG things, and like, oh, but, you know...
Well, no. I was pleasantly surprised that the Morlocks were not overly CG.
Well, all the Morlocks, I'm talking about the time machine itself.
Well, yeah, there was like, that. But I was really glad that the Morlocks were people in costume.
Now, if you're going to talk about Morlocks, let's compare them to the 1960s version. Quite obviously little people in rubber suits and prosthesis and stuff, but at least they were kind of scary because they were very obviously white and green monsters with the creepy hair.
They weren't that scary. They were just kind of funny looking.
Well, if you had one of those pop up on your shoulder, would you not scream?
If you had one of the other guys pop up on you, you'd scream too.
Because they'd be like an emo Twilight vampire sitting there going, let me tell you about my plan.
They were way scarier than emo Twilight vampires.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of reminded me of watching Lord of the Rings, whatever those things were that...
I didn't see any of the Lord of the Rings movie. I know people will hate me for that, but that's another reason why I haven't watched any of them yet.
Haven't you watched any of them?
Well, for one, that's like hours and hours of footage I'd have to sit down and watch.
Yeah.
And then two, it just pisses people off when they're like, what? None of them? What's wrong with you? You know.
Lame. You should just watch them sometime. Make a podcast about it.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch every frame of footage. All the eight hours.
I've seen all of them.
Yeah, well,
you don't have to watch the extended cuts either. You can just watch the basic cuts.
Is that including the originals from like what was it, the 70s?
You don't need to watch any. I'm just saying, watch the new ones. Those are to compare to stuff. I don't know.
But anyway, okay.
I haven't seen the originals
My
either.
My problem with the Morlocks in the remake was that they had like a social order cast. They were like the really stupid Morlocks, and then there was the gothy Morlock. He was the brains of the whole operation.
He was the brains of the operation. He controlled them with his brain.
I know, and it's just it got very like the and I don't know. The other thing that really annoyed me was that they referenced the original story in the with Orlando Jones's character. He's like, oh, time travel, time machine, fiction. Like, yeah. You don't reference your own movie if you're remaking it.
I don't know, I think it's kind of a funny inside joke.
I don't know. Orlando Jones. I think a lot of remakes actually do. I was glad to see him, even though, he's always an interesting guy, and it's like, oh, it's this Make 7-Up Years guy, and what else have we seen him in since? He had the Orlando Jones show.
He was in a few movies around the time period. He was pretty big at the time. I'm sure that's why they got him.
At the time, and now...
Yeah. Now he hasn't done anything, but he was pretty big in the early 2000s.
I don't know. So, there's that. Also,
I thought that Guy Pearce, it seemed like they wanted to cast Johnny Depp in the role for at least the first half of the movie. He was just acting like Johnny Depp, I thought. So, that was interesting.
I could see that, I guess. Now, what are your thoughts on how the concept of the story, rather than being the explorer that he was in the first movie, this one he was trying to get back, find his lost love?
I thought those were... pretty good updates and timely as well. I don't think people the time. If you were just to do a straight adaptation of the book, I don't think audiences would have.
Some of it was similar.
Received it as well.
You couldn't relate to the whole.
Not to say that's good or bad, but if they're making a multi-million-dollar production these days, Well, they tend to want to do that.
Well, the whole nuclear holocaust thing, it's very novel now. I mean, even though we're probably still at the, you know, we could have a nuclear attack and holocaust at any point in time, it's not as prevalent in people's minds as it was in the 60s and the 80s. It's like, the nukes could happen. Now it's like, yeah, nukes, we'll probably all die, whatever. You know, but the way they handle it in the remake, where, should we give this part away with the whole...
Didn't we give all the other movies away?
I don't know. Well, this plus it's a 7-year-old movie. I think it's about time. But they're mining on the moon, and they break it.
They didn't really show that scene.
No, they showed the scene. Remember, he freaked out, and they showed the moon splitting in two?
Yeah, but they actually had a scene that was supposed to be on the moon. I saw it in the bonus features. They had sketches of it and all that stuff. I was really wishing they would have made it.
They didn't show anything on the moon. It was all talked about.
They showed the moon split, which reminded me of another poor movie that I saw recently called Impact.
Impact. Oh, man.
Entertaining concept.
You know, the only thing worse than Impact is The Core.
I haven't seen The Core yet.
I've heard about that one.
How do you know it's worse?
Because, dude, they're mining to the center of the Earth.
Word for it.
They're mining to the center of the Earth, and it's just, yeah. That, of course, that was around the era of, like, this comes off the heels of, like, movies like Armageddon, and what are those other, like, meteors are destroying the world, and we have to, you know.
Yeah. Deep Impact.
Impact.
There's Deep Impact. That was back in the day. The newer one is Impact.
Impact, and then, and then there was that one... About the guy who built the $1 million space thing or whatever, because they got signals from aliens. Contact, was it?
No, Contact, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know.
2012? Are you talking about 20...
No, 2012 is a totally different kind of movie. We don't need to be going into that one. But anyway, so what did you think of the future society in the remake of The Time Machine versus the original?
I thought it was interesting. The whole thing reminded me, I mean, it had like... You don't see it as often these days, but yeah, definitely around the time period. It was a very 2000-y kind of movie, because the soundtrack was like children's choirs going, epic, like, like the whole Lion King soundtrack
approach.
I noticed
it's a very different future society. It's like, in the original, it was, you know, a bunch of confused white people are like, we've been, you know, people, they bring our food, we don't fight, we don't grow anything in farms or anything, we just hang out here.
Yeah.
And then in this Time Machine, it was like all natives... Everyone living in, like, you know, seaside.
They weren't just totally mindless in this one. They at least tried to protect themselves by staying in those cocoon type things.
Mankind had gone back to being in foraging and, you know, living off the land and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't know. It seemed a little forced. It's like how people today, like a lot of people, try and identify with their, you know, with some people can try and identify with going back to nature and the hippie movement and stuff, and like. It's like, really? This whole pseudo...
I don't think they were trying to go back to nature. I think that's just what they had to do.
I'm saying that's what the movie makers did. They try and make it like, oh, this is what happens when all mankind has to, you know, just forget society and, you know, try to survive. And it's, I don't know. It seemed a little... It was a very different take of the future.
The explanation I saw behind it was that the... what was it? Like, the Morlocks were... They wouldn't climb as much or something like that, so they tried to get as high and away from them as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they went up into the cliffs or something like that. There's something about that in the bonus feature. I kind of forget now.
I don't think I watched the bonus features to that one. I watched the bonus features to the original because they had the history of the Time Machine prop, and they had Michael J. Fox talking about the Time Machine. I'm like, that's just awesome in itself, seeing Michael J. Fox sitting in the old Time Machine.
Yeah, I started watching the bonus features for this one. I didn't watch it all the way through, but yeah, they had a... Actually, it might have just been stuff that I read on the CD, on the DVD. And the bonus features might not have been as much video as just, like, clicking through things. But, yeah, I think overall the concept was as entertaining. And it was a decent update of the thing.
For its time. I don't think it's definitely not going to be as timeless as the original. It's, like, it felt like it had the production values of, like, Underworld or something. It looked, you know, it had... very streamlined, but very obviously from 2002 kind of look to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that they have to throw in more elements these days for audiences, because they won't be as entertained by such simplistic... I mean, part of the appeal of the first one was that it's kind of quaint in a way. It's just like, oh, here's a guy who moves through time,
it's
and
quaint,
here's what he sees at each stopping point. And there's not really anything that happens until he gets to the 800,000s.
It's quite,
and
he meets Weena
and stuff like that.
The original is a very, it's a lot like Planet of the Apes in that it sets a certain tone that you just don't see in movies today, because now it's like, oh, we have to shove this stuff in people's faces because we have the effects. And it's like, back then, they made you think for a little while and get you, and, you know, surprise you with these things. So, but yeah, okay, now you wanted to read the synopsis for Time After Time?
It's very short.
You! Of course it is.
Time After Time is a 1979 American fantasy film written and directed by Nicholas Meyer. The screenplay is based on a novel by Carl Alexander and a story by Steve Hayes, and centers on British author H.G. Wells and his use of a time machine to pursue Jack the Ripper into the 20th century.
Sums it up pretty nicely, doesn't it?
Yes, H.G. Wells.
See,
is friends with Jack the Ripper and doesn't realize it until they come to his house because
he's ripped.
He's ripped again. He's ripped of a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he steals the time machine.
He commandeers it. No, I don't even know if that's a word. He hijacks the time machine.
Now,
and takes it to the future.
Now here's
and then the thing that was silly was that he sent it back.
Well, no, it wasn't that he sent it back. It was that it was auto-set to come back. Because they had the nice, you know, okay, we have to explain the rules of this movie. So he's giving the tour of the time machine. It's like, it's set to return unless I have this key. Otherwise, it's set to auto-come back, because that means somebody stole the machine, obviously, and it needs to come back to me. And then this other thing...
Wait, I don't understand that whole concept now at all, now that I think about it.
What, the key?
How did the machine know that whoever just took it didn't have the key? If it knows it, and when you're going forward, it doesn't have the key, then it sends it back.
He wasn't too clear on the specifics of it, but basically, if somebody gets out of the ride, and the key isn't in place, like
then
if it
automatically goes back.
Yeah, like if the person leaves the.
Well,
ride,
but
yeah.
When he gets out of it, the key's not in place.
Well, when he gets out of it, well. That's the thing. I think it was he had the key in it.
I guess you know
and
it's
then
like
he took a ride. He had the key in it when he left, and then when it stopped, it had the key. So when he took it out, so if you take the thing
yeah,
for a ride without
stops,
the key,
yeah.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
But if you take it for a ride with the key, it'll stop wherever you want it to.
I guess yeah.
Now the other plot device in this movie was the crystal that apparently the time machine turns you into vapor that travels
into
time spheres. And apparently this crystal... See, it sounds really stupid the more you have to talk about it.
Of course.
But if you take the crystal out, you travel through time without the machine, which didn't really make any sense in the big climactic moment where somebody, obviously, if you introduce this device into the movie, somebody travels through time without the machine, and it just seems very... What? Okay. Is that what we're doing?
I mean, I guess H.G. Wells is just a very forward-thinking... gentleman.
Well, he didn't have the...
Heck, if I get into a fight and someone tries to hijack this from me, then if I'm there, I can at least...
Well, it's like... It's
vaporize
like,
them.
It's like having the club before the club.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Now, the concept of this movie, I really like... I heard it... I read the back of the box, and it's like... H.G. Wells has to travel through time to catch Jack the Ripper in his time machine that he built. I'm like, that sounds awesome. Like, if you had to make up that movie in your head, you're thinking, like, oh, he's going to the future, and he's going back to Waterloo, and he's going, you know, just going jumping all around. And, no, this is a very quaint 1979, hey, let's do a fish-out-of-water story about a guy from 1893 who comes to our time and has to order at McDonald's. And isn't it goofy? And looking at it through, like, the 30-year time slot that we were...
Made it even funnier.
Yeah, it's like, wow. And... Now, it was also very funny how some of the stuff they tried, you know, it worked. Like, when she introduced herself to him, she just fell heads over, you know, heels for this guy.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. Like, the dinner scene.
Just that moment, you know.
Where she just starts spilling her guts out about how, like, you know, how the English guy turns her on or something.
Yep.
And
she likes the accent.
Apparently, I mean... Obviously, he was there a day.
The mustache. She liked the mustache ride.
Mm-hmm. No, that's terrible. Terrible, terrible,
hey.
Terrible.
You never know.
Well,
got into the underbrush.
Oh, that's terrible, Kyle. Terrible.
It was the '70s. There was still underbrush then. Nowadays, not so much. If you would have traveled 30 more years in the future, you'd be like, wow. Oh, women shave their body hair. Oh. All of it.
All of it now. Oh, that's terrible.
They don't look like a Morlock when I get them naked.
But there were a few moments. There were a few moments in this movie where we're sitting there thinking, like, when they got that newspaper and it said, excuse me, and it said that he's going to, you know, commit a murder at this scene. At this point in time, it's like, they know when stuff's at. Why don't they just time travel, you know, get in the time machine, travel to right there, and sneak up on him? Or why don't they go back to the first
thought didn't
one?
Occur to him right away at first, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was still new to the idea of time travel, I guess. He wasn't like, I can just hop around whenever I want to. Clearly, because he was staying there, staying put. The most time travel we saw
why
after that was...
Why they were staying at her apartment all that time, I have no idea. Because he knew killer knew where they were.
Yeah. He's like, wait here. If I'm not back in an hour,
then
leave.
And then she's like, I'm going to take some Valium.
I'm going to take some Valium
and
booze.
Drink some gin. And I'm just going to lay here and that's
sleep
another
for
thing.
Four
Those
hours.
Cops were horrible. Like, the cops, they found, you know, H.G. Wells shows up at her place with a gun. And they're like, oh, we got to carry him off. And the whole time he's like, she's going to get killed. Send somebody over right now. And any decent police officer was sitting and gone, well, you know, even if the guy that he's talking about doesn't do it, I'd still want to tell this lady, hey, you know, somebody crazy is saying that you're going to get killed. We should probably send a unit over. But no, of course not. They wait till the last minute, and then they get there, and it's, yeah.
Well, no, if they already doubted that guy's credibility, then they might have doubted the credibility of that claim as well. But still, the fact that he showed up at her apartment with a gun... That should have probably alerted them.
They should at least send a cop in and woke her up or something.
Unless they thought that, he's the guy, and we nabbed him, so
we're
good to go. And then he's, of course, telling the story because he doesn't want us to, he wants to be let loose again.
Yeah. Because
he's been ripping on everybody.
Oh, Ripper. Which, yeah, Jack the Ripper in a 70s disco. That was quite the scene. So, overall, Kyle, what are your thoughts on all three movies? The Time Machine, 1960.
I liked it.
I say see it. I saw it all the time as a kid, and I would, like, if it was playing now, I'd go and watch it, because it's a good movie. The Time Machine, 2002.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was an interesting update. It definitely lacked in a lot of...
It's worth seeing, just for the sake of seeing.
I would say it lacks...
If you're a fan of the original...
Perhaps substance. But they tried to make it interesting. It's just I think that maybe if they had better writers to develop on some of those concepts a bit more, it would have been better. But yeah, they definitely...
They kind of jumped over. Like, I mean, that whole concept in the remake was that he lost his lost love or whatever, and he built the time machine to get back to her, and she kept dying, and he's like, time will have her. It doesn't matter what I do. And from there, he's like, well, then I'm just going to go... Till whenever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he just, like, that, so he goes from a tragic, you know, okay, I have to do this to get the woman I love, to, I'm just gonna go a-hunting and see what's in the future.
Hey, you'd do the same, I'm sure.
I don't know.
Well, what would you do in his place?
I don't know, I'd get over it, maybe go, hey guys, I invented time travel, I think I'm gonna make a lot of money.
If you invented time travel, you would try it out, I think.
Well, I think what I would do
like,
is,
I'm going to the future
rather than all the other movies about time travel, where they get to the future and it's like, you wouldn't believe me, I would make it very public and say, okay, I invented time travel, I'm setting up a trust, and I'm going to the future, and go, and then, like, in the future, when I arrive, they're like, we've been waiting for you, here's all your interest that you've accrued over all this time. You know, it wouldn't be as weird. At least that's what.
So you would just use it for money.
Not just for money, but I would have a way to mark myself, so I wouldn't be constantly like, "How come you don't have any identification, man?"
Well, but they didn't even have identification in 1893. So why would he need to even?
Well, there wasn't a lot going on in 1893 in this movie. That was the nice. I actually liked a lot of the movie before he got in the time machine. Like, the way they show Jack the Ripper through the eyes of the Ripper, so you know, and it's a
little
weird. Didn't
know who it was.
Yeah. Which, although
that was entertaining.
That was
kind of
weird, that part with the knife, and you hear that effect, and it's like, it sounds like he's cutting her outfit,
yeah,
but then apparently he's slicing her.
It sounded more like he was, I don't even know, cutting clothes, not
there's
flesh.
For a thing with Jack the Ripper, like, the only really bloody scene was near the end with the severed hand, so.
Yeah, and there's blood on the walls.
Yeah, which was kind of weird. And then there was also that scene where he had the one teardrop of blood from when he sliced some
chick. Got hit with one droplet of blood. That's what usually happened. There was not much blood.
Yeah, it was not. It's not a gore film. It's just an interesting concept piece. But yeah, so Time Machine the remake. I'd see it if you're a fan. Otherwise, you're not missing much. Time After Time. If you're a fan of Somewhere in Time or The Time Traveler's Wife, you might get something out of it.
I enjoyed Time After Time.
I enjoyed it. This is a movie that needs to be remade. They need to take this concept and try and do something different with it. Like, rather than a fish out of water story like they've been doing.
Turn it into an effects gore fest.
I didn't say it had to be gore, but it could be like an effects fest, like it could go two times we've seen, and then it could go into the future. Like, I would love to see, go to, the Society of, Logan's Run or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. That would be sweet.
Alright.
And maybe Malcolm McDowell could reprise this role from Doomsday as well. That would be awesome.
Doomsday. There's a movie we're going to have to review sometime.
Yep.
But anyway, definitely. That finishes up the Time After Time.
Well, what were your
Time
ratings?
Machine.
I guess you did tell your ratings.
I did.
Of all three. Never mind.
I'd say the first one, classic. Everybody should see it. Everybody should own it.
So you rate Time Machine 1960 is number one. Then Time After Time is number two.
Time After Time. I wouldn't say it's a number two, but it's
oh, so Time Machine 2002 is number two.
No, if we're putting them in order, I definitely say the two Time Machine movies, and then see Time After Time as a nice little supplemental thing, because it's vaguely the same concept, but it's just a little weird fantasy film, and are you looking forward to the sequel to the Time Machine?
Definitely.
How do you make a sequel to... Okay, now he's in the future, and
maybe he
goes further? He destroyed his time machine in that one.
I don't know.
Now, is it about another guy with another time machine?
Who knows?
Could be.
Was there a link to it?
Now, No, there wasn't. But it
perhaps he'll be summoned to the past by someone who found his time machine.
Now, speaking of the
time machine...
If you watch the bonus features on the original 1960s, they got the actor who played the main hero and the guy that played his friend in the past.
Philby,
yeah. They got them back to do a little mini sequel where George comes back and he's like, oh, I've just come back to this.
Wait,
like,
that was on the...
It's on the extras. It was on the VHS extras. Oh. I was like, wow, this is a lot of extras for, obviously a great film. But... Yeah, that DVD set is really worth getting, especially for just the landscapes and all that stuff. Is a great looking film, but 2002, I don't know. Some people might like it. It's a different aesthetic than what I'd go for. And Time After Time is just a nice if you got a night to kill some time, it's worth watching. So,
yeah, I would say
I would prefer it over the 2002 movie, but
I'd say Time After Time is more. Good.
It's more gooder.
More gooder.
Yeah.
But then I think that the modern update of Time Machine was I thought it had a lot of potential, but
I'm looking forward to seeing...
because Simon Wells had the wimp out fest.
Oh. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the sequel, if it's a continuation of that same character.
Maybe it's just some dude in the future rebuild a society. There's really no time. The Time Machine 2. There is no time machine.
You know what would be sweet if there was a time machine where a dude in the future, or maybe even our present, has a time machine and just goes back to the 1800s?
Or...
A reverse time machine.
Or he finds in the down where there's all the leftovers of the old society, he finds enough stuff.
Are you talking about
rebuild
a Morlock time machine where like...
No, he just finds enough materials left over from the last 800,000 years of whatever's down there. I mean, he's got the cornerstones of all the buildings, then he can rebuild... The machine.
So basically, you're saying like a whatever to after the first movie or not, I mean after the remake that he picks society up where it was in between after the Morlocks and just moves it on somewhere new.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then, if it's going to be called the Time Machine, I don't know. If there's no Time Machine...
If you call it the Time Machine 2, I think you're obligated to follow the first story.
Well, yeah,
but
yeah.
But some movies don't do that. They call it 2, and then it's like there's none of the recurring characters. They're not there. It's totally different people. So, it might just be the time. I mean, with the Time Machine, it's kind of open. Even though it's a lot of, okay, you got a guy, and he gets in this machine, and he goes to the future, and he's horrified by what man has become. That's the principal theme for it.
That could be the title. Here's a man, he goes into the future, and he's horrified by what man has become. Two.
Dude.
The sequel.
Duder. Okay. Dude, where's my time machine? I'm sure Ashton Kutcher would get in on that.
Totally.
Alright, so this concludes the time travel episode of No Rides Production.
Hey,
podcast.
When does the hot tub time machine come out?
Oh,
that's soon, right?
That's another point. And especially going along with 2012. Because that's got John Cusack 2.
John Cusack 3.
I hate you, Kyle. Okay, let me check the IMDb. Alright, let's see. Okay, release date, March 19th, 2010.
Oh, man, I was hoping it was, like, next month.
No, that's another film.
Lame.
We haven't seen this one, but it's...
It's going to be awesome.
The trailer for it
it's
alone...
It's like the snakes on a plane of this
next year. I don't
want to
get
year.
Too excited for it, though, because I see it and it's like, this looks so awesome, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to get too hopeful, but it's got John Cusack, it's got... who's the guy from... The black guy from...
Office.
He's from The Office?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got, where is he on the list there? Scroll down.
All right.
Nobody wants to listen to us say scroll. Who's this guy? We need to get these people... I'll
give them
this
their
part
credit,
out
yeah.
Before we, Chevy Chase, yeah! Where is he? I don't even see him on
here. I don't think he has an IMDb listing, but,
No, he does, because I looked him up before.
Well, okay, but...
Did they take him out of the movie? What?
No, they wouldn't take
him. Oh, maybe
is
he Craig Robinson, that's who
it
is.
Oh, Craig, yeah, he doesn't have a photo. That's
yeah,
what
that's why
Craig
I was
Robinson,
confused.
Rob Corddry,
Well, no, start off with it's got, because if you edit all that crap out, you just all of a sudden it's like, Hot Tub Time Machine.
We're not even reviewing this yet. This is a preview. Okay, who's in the Hot... In your eyes.
Ian Kaplan, who was in Cloverfield and a TV show called The Class.
We haven't seen anything of her character, dude. You're supposed to be talking about the talk about. She might be a minor character.
Was in Charlie's Angels 2.
Crispin Glover. Wait, isn't he Crispin Glover? Is he the guy from Back to the Future?
Yes, he was also in Back to the Future.
He was the.
So there you go.
All right. Kate.
Chevy Chase. New show called Community. You might have seen it. I don't know if you'll know Chevy Chase or much else.
I've heard people talk
He's
about
also
Community, but I've never
Community
seen it.
Is an excellent show. All
know. Right, Rob Corddry. I don't know. Rob Corddry is that? He is from The Daily Show.
Okay.
And then he was on that show on Fox for like a week.
Yeah. And then we've got Craig Robinson with The Office, and he was the bouncer and Knocked Up, and he was in.
He was on Zack and Miri. Yeah, he was.
Zack and Miri. He's in all those things.
Yeah.
Mm
hmm.
Where's that kid from Sex Drive? He's also in the trailer.
I don't...
Which kid is that?
I have no idea. Let's see. He might be one of these people that don't... A lot of these people don't have pictures yet, so... I don't know the... Now, he's the one that I'm confused on. Like,
the thing I don't
understand... I can understand when you get guys like John Cusack and the guy from... the black guy from The Office, I guess, because we don't know their names well enough. But yeah, him and Rob Corddry, I can see these guys are like, oh, we're reliving our days in the 80s. But this kid, he looks like he's my age or younger. If he's trying, I mean, how can he be trying to relive his groove days?
Remember that dude about that TV show on MTV, and he's like 30, but he looks 15.
What guy would that be?
Andy Milonakis, that kid.
Oh well, he. Well, yeah, there is.
There's people that you know that are stunted growth. Yeah, you know.
Michael J. Fox. He still looks like he's 15.
Thompson.
Kyle Sweeney.
Hey!
Why are you gonna be making fun of me, man? I'm gonna call out my manager at the Taco Hut and tell him I'm gonna kick your ass. Anyway, okay, but anyway, that one.
No,
he's got a mustache now. He's getting.
We're going pre-season.
Okay, but anyway. But yeah, we're doing a preview of Hot Tub Time Machine. I've seen the trailer, and I don't want to get too jazzed up about it because I think I might psych myself out by, you know, I might build up this movie in my head. It does, because John, for one, everybody in it is awesome in their own right, and putting them in a movie is like taking awesome sauce and squeezing it into you know, awesome sauce and making an awesome sundae, I guess. So I'm just, we're looking forward to that one. We'll definitely end up giving it an interview.